pay nothing. Attorneys, this was meant to be funny, so please don't sue me, especially my friend Kenneth from Black River Falls, Wisconsin.
Call now for your free timeshare exit info kit. 800-613-5454. 800-613-5454. 800-613-5454.
Good morning. It's 10:03. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center, brought to you by Safe Retirement Solutions. Anne Arundel County is opening applications for grants funded by the Community Reinvestment and Repair Fund. The CRRF supports community-based programs that benefit low to moderate-income households, particularly in communities most impacted by the criminalization of cannabis. County Executive Stuart Pittman says when the state legalized recreational marijuana, the county knew it had the responsibility to ensure that the benefits reached communities most harmed by decades of enforcement. Attorney General Anthony Brown says the Civil Rights Division of his office has reached a settlement with a property management company regarding its tenant screening practices. The agreement with American Management resolves concerns related to the language used by the Baltimore-based company. Stein on Sports and the exclusive WCBM Weather Channel forecast next.
WCBM News is brought to you by Safe Retirement Solutions. Call Rod Barowe at 410-266-1120. Call Rod Barowe now at Safe Retirement Solutions, 410-266-1120.
If your home is a bit dated, one of the best things you can do is renovate prior to selling. But how do you pay for it? I'm Sean Holden, owner of Renovation Real Estate. Let Renovation.Real Estate take care of everything for you. We handle the upfront costs, complete the renovations, then list your home for sale. You don't pay for renovations until closing. No gimmicks, just results. Imagine using our money to raise the value of your property without any upfront expense. Call today at 410-724-1199 or visit us at Renovation.Real Estate. We fix it, we sell it, you profit. MHIC 118-795.
Rapid Radios are instant push to talk walkie-talkies, offering national LTE coverage and no subscriptions ever. A great alternative to a mobile phone for your kids. For a limited time, go to rapidradios.com now for 60% off and free UPS shipping. Add code radio and get an extra 5% off.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
Good news, bad news for the Birds last night in their 5-1 win over the D-backs. Good news was Gunner. Two solid hits, two stolen bases. His stroke is back, says manager Brandon Hyde.
Looked like he's getting his timing back and took some really good swings today. And I just thought our at-bats, the first five innings, were absolutely fantastic off Gallen.
Bad news, potentially, is the status of Zach Eflin. The right-hander went six quality last night to get the win, but
unfortunately, he came out with a little bit of shoulder fatigue. So, you know, we're going to get some tests done and hopefully keeping our fingers crossed that everything's okay there.
This bears watching. A comical moment during last night's NCAA championship game. Florida claims their third men's basketball championship, 65-63 over Houston. Neither team at one point had made a three-pointer. Cougars head coach Kelvin Sampson was asked by sideline reporter Tracy Wolfson about that.
Nerves. Championship night. It's in the middle of the January against Sasquatch State. I mean, it's national championship. They're going to be nerves. Both teams will settle in.
Appreciate it, thank you.
Okay.
What conference is Sasquatch State in?
Bert, I was 5-0 against Sasquatch. We won three in overtime. It was a tough road trip, I'll tell you.
They were your cupcake when you were at St. Paul.
Ian Eagle and the great Bill Raftery having fun at his expense. And finally, Augusta comes alive this week with the Masters, but not yesterday. Rain and thunderstorms curtail practice. BJ Singh announcing he's withdrawing with an injury. Meanwhile, Xander Schauffele confident he's back from that intercostal injury. It's the same one that Gunner suffered during the offseason. Coming up in 30 minutes, Charlie Morton takes the hill tonight. And that is Stein on Sports.
WCBM reaches all types of entrepreneurs, businesses, associations, and specialists. Now is your chance to explain live, by the way of your own radio show, exactly how your business or association can benefit the WCBM listener through your own show. You control the dialogue. You control the subject matter. You control your own results. This is a great opportunity that WCBM can give to you. For more information, call Andy Grimshaw or visit WCBM.com.
At 10:07, here's the exclusive WCBM Weather Channel forecast.
We get to soak up some sunshine today and tomorrow. The rest of the week, we're dealing with some rain. Today, sunny, breezy, cool, 50 this afternoon. Tomorrow, warming up to 55. Thursday, some scattered showers, 58 the high. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBS.
Currently 40 degrees in Dundalk, 37 in Owings Mills, and 35 in Moncton. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
Stay connected and informed.
Everybody, listen carefully.
Download the WCBM 680 mobile app at WCBM.com. Kim Plasick Live starts now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, good morning, good morning. Happy Tuesday. Oh, yes, it's Tuesday. Yes, you got a full week still to go. I know. You'll get through it, though. You'll get through it. You know what? It doesn't even bother me that it's Tuesday. What bothers me is how cold it is. That's what bothers me. It's April, for crying out loud. Come on, Mother Nature. Give us a break, please. We don't deserve this. Oh, man. Tomorrow, I just want to give you a quick heads up here. We got two guests tomorrow. Sally Taylor, she'll join us at 9:35 a.m. She's running for a delegate seat in Carroll County. And then also Delegate Nino Mangione, he'll join us at 11 a.m., tomorrow for a session wrap-up. Of course, like we said, they had Sadie die in Annapolis yesterday, so he'll give us a little breakdown there. So two guests tomorrow, and you'll want to tune in. Today, we have two guests as well. Our first guest, she's on the line with us now. Her name is Beth Brinkley, and I'm going to let her walk you through what is going on here because it's a bit confusing and it's a bit strange that all this is taking place. But at the same time, I think many of us would understand what's going on considering how polarizing politics has been as of late. So first and foremost, good morning, Beth. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Kim?
I'm doing well. Thank you for hopping on the line with us today because I was out of work last week. Yes, I was out all last week on vacation. I ended up missing your story there, Beth, so I apologize on that one. When it was brought to my attention, I thought, well, what the heck is going on here? If you could just walk the audience through, you know, what your job was on the board and then, of course, the op-ed and all those good things. If you could just walk us through it all.
All right. I'll try to make this quick. I'm a bit of a talker, so I'll try to make it quick. Governor Hogan appointed me to the Board of Contract Appeals back in 2016. A year later, he appointed me as chairman of the board. And what the board does is it hears all the appeals that are related to procurement disputes, whether it be the competitive process on the front end or contract disputes on the back end. And we handle all of those disputes for the entire state. That's the procurement process. So I was appointed as chairman, which is essentially the same thing as chief judge. And I handled all of the scheduling and all of the admin, all of the hearing scheduling and notices and that sort of thing for the entire board for about 8 or 9 years. And it's a term position. I initially had a 5-year term. Governor Hogan reappointed me for another 5-year term. And then just as my term was, before I get to that, about a year and a half ago, back in October of 23, I was having some health issues and was under a lot of stress and just decided it was time for me to step down as the chairman and let somebody else, let one of the other judges handle the day-to-day matters before the board. So I did that, and when I met with Secretary Tisha Edwards, I let her know that it was not what I wanted to do, but I felt like I needed to for my health. I told her then that I was very concerned about getting reappointed because I really loved my job and loved what I was doing and thought that I was pretty good at it. I had instituted a lot of reforms during my tenure as chairman, and I thought made the process a lot better, and I was certainly hearing from the business community that they finally felt like they were getting fair hearings and being heard and were more inclined to do business in the state because up until that point, the board had really just been rubber stamping whatever the government wanted. So I was upset about having to step down, but I knew it was the right thing for me at the time. Secretary Edwards said to me, put her hand across the table on my hand and said, you don't need to be worried about getting reappointed. Just take that off your worry plate. So I was reassured that that wasn't going to be an issue. Mm-hmm. So I stepped down. The current governor, Wes Moore, appointed another person to take that position on and did so for about, I guess, and is still in that position for about a year, a little over a year, I guess almost a year and a half now, she has been leading the board in that capacity. So when it came time for my term to end, I let Secretary Edwards know that I wanted to be reappointed. Did I need to do anything to make it formal? And she and Deputy Chief of Staff Manny Welsh wanted to meet with me. I'm not sure why. I'd been doing the job by that point for 9 years and certainly had already been vetted. But I went ahead and met with them, and I figured it was just a meet and greet because I had never met Manny Welsh before. So when I came in and met with Secretary Edwards and Manny Welsh, she asked me, how's it going? I know you were having some health issues. Has it gotten better, and is everything going good now? And I was like, well, now that you've asked, the answer is no, it's actually gotten worse. And she was quite surprised and asked me, what's going on? And I said, well, ever since I stepped down, I have not been assigned any new cases by the new chairman. I have continued to work on the cases that I had assigned myself previously while I was chairman, but I hadn't been given any new work to do in over a year. And she responded by saying, well, we can't have that. We can't have someone on payroll who's not doing any work. And I said, I agree. I think this is a real leadership problem. I want to do the work. I want to be working on cases. I don't understand why I'm not being assigned cases. And I had also shared with her that I'm not, they don't communicate with me. She is not keeping me in the loop. I'm finding out through the grapevine what's actually going on with the board. And essentially, I'd just been sidelined and shut out. And I didn't understand why. And so I suggested that maybe a change in leadership was appropriate. And Secretary Edwards said, well, we're going to have to circle back with her and find out what's really going on. Because we can't have someone working on the payroll who's not doing work. And I'm like, absolutely. I'm 100% in agreement.
Yeah.
So I didn't hear anything after that. And so next thing I know, the green bag comes out and my name is not under the, in the appointments. Instead, there are two people being appointed, one to replace me and one being reappointed. The one being reappointed is a non-lawyer, and the person being reappointed is a lawyer, had been on the board previously a couple years ago and had quit that position and taken a job with the state's attorney's office in Carroll County under Haven Shoemaker. I guess he wasn't satisfied or wasn't happy with that job and was now coming back to replace me. So I was quite shocked, and I reached out to Secretary Edwards, and I was like, what's changed? I was expecting to be reappointed based on your reassurances, and now I'm being replaced, and I didn't understand what that was all about. And the long and short of it was, she emailed me back and said that because of the dynamics between me and the current chairman, that they were not going to reappoint me. And so the conclusion I drew was, rather than make a change in leadership, as I thought was appropriate, they rewarded the chairman and punished me. And so I'm out of a job now. I also did later learn that this was somewhat of a pretext. My husband, David Brinkley, who many of you probably know, was the former Secretary of Budget Management for the Governor Hogan. He had written an opinion piece that was published by the Baltimore Sun related to all of the budget crisis that the state's going through right now.
Right.
And apparently that upset some of the folks in the current administration, and that he was told through some of his former colleagues in the Senate that that was part of the reason or some of the reason that I was not being reappointed. So that's it in a nutshell. Now I'm out of a job for complaining about not getting any work. So here you've got someone who's anxious to work, wants to do the work, is out of a job, and I don't know why. I'm just perplexed by the whole thing. So I have given this to state formal notice that I intend to file a whistleblower action.
Oh, wow.
And that's where we are.
Wow. Well, good for you on that note, Beth, with the whistleblower action. I guess, let me ask you a couple questions if I could.
Sure.
When you were out for health reasons, during that period of time, is that when the op-ed was published or was it once you got back?
Oh, no. First of all, I was never out. I continued to work. I was just, you know, I just wanted to pull back and scale back a little bit. So I continued to work. I had cases of my, you know, back then of my own. So I, you know, I was on the clock the whole time. The op-ed piece came out after I met with Secretary Edwards and Manny Welsh and reported to them that this issue was going on with the my replacement, the new chairman. So it was, I think the op-ed came out in like mid-February, and I met with them on January 23rd. And then, of course, the green bag came out, I think, just actually a few days after David's op-ed was published.
Okay. All right. Because that's what I wanted to find out was the timeline here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it does look like you were, unfortunately, let go because of, you know, being on the other side of the aisle, I guess. Let me ask you this, Beth, if I could. Are there people still there and appointed that also worked in Governor Larry Hogan's administration?
Yes, actually, the majority of them are there on the bench and appointed by Governor Hogan. There are, I think, two people who are now there that were appointed by Governor Moore.
Okay.
The rest of them, we have six judges. The rest of them were appointed by Governor Hogan.
Okay. So it's not like it's not common that you still have people there from the previous administration.
That's correct. But one of the things that's troubling is that a couple of the folks that are on the bench that were appointed by Governor Hogan came from the AAG, the Attorney General's office, and were, you know, essentially representing the state in these types of matters, and then left the state, the AAG's office, and then came up on the bench. That's not necessarily uncommon, but, you know, it suggests a potential bias. So I was always trying to combat that by making sure that both sides are being fairly heard and that we weren't just continuing to rubber stamp whatever it was that the agencies and the, you know, the administration wanted.
Yeah. Which we definitely appreciate that. Again, if you're just joining us, we're speaking to Beth Brinkley. And also the story was, and it still is, on Fox 45's website, if anybody wants to go and check it out there. Beth, when it comes to the whistleblower action that you're now taking, what do you hope or expect to see from that? Are you hoping to shed more light on the situation? Are you hoping to get back your job? What are you hoping?
Well, I wanted to get my job back, which is why I pulled the trigger when I did before, you know, the Senate had approved the two replacements. I don't know if that's an option now or not. I haven't consulted with outside counsel to determine, you know, what my legal rights are with respect to remedies in that regard. Certainly, I would have loved to have had my job back. Certainly, I would still like to have my job back.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely want to shed light on the administration's wrongful behavior in letting someone go who's reporting about waste, fraud, and abuse by the government. You know, I reported on someone who was refusing to assign me work, who was I was getting paid full time, a really decent salary, and not given any work to do. And that's just wrong.
Yeah.
And the fact that I spoke up about it and then lost my job about it, that's also wrong. And I want people to know that that's what has happened, and that these wrongs cannot go and just be swept under the carpet and ignored. I don't think that's right. And if it's happening to me, it's probably happening to others throughout this administration. And, you know, I'm an injustice fighter. I can't help myself. I can't just roll over and pretend like it's okay. It's not okay.
Yeah. So basically, and as people are listening here, you wanted to do work. You love the work that you do. And because of that, it seems that you were let go. And of course, some of this could be because of who your husband is and then being on the other side of the aisle. I would think that this is a case of discrimination, Beth. That's what I would think.
Discrimination or retaliation or both.
Right.
You know, I'm calling it retaliation. Again, I pulled the trigger and gave them notice. I actually have 6 months to file the action.
Okay.
But I want to make sure that I meet with outside counsel and explore, you know, all of the legal issues and ins and outs and ramifications, et cetera, before I actually file my complaint. But that is what I'm planning to do. So next step, I guess, is meet with counsel and start forming my complaint. Well, Beth, one of the other things that I wanted to mention is that when I met with Secretary Edwards and Manny Welsh, you know, I asked them, I said, you know, I have pages and pages of incidents that I've been documenting of leadership issues and mismanagement by the current chairman. I pulled out my yellow notepad and started flipping through the pages where I had, you know, handwritten notes of all the incidents that had occurred over the past year. And I asked Secretary Edwards, I said, you tell me, you know, give me some advice. Should I put this in the form of a, you know, formal memo or what should I do? And she goes, oh, no. You don't want to put that in writing. That doesn't serve anybody's interest. You don't want to put all that in writing.
Wow.
And so I did not put it in writing, and I still have my yellow notepad with all of my notes, and I'm sure many of the notes that are in there are going to wind up in my complaint, but I just thought it was curious that I was advised not to put my concerns in writing.
Wow, Beth, this is quite a story here. I hope that you come back on and keep us posted as you take your next steps here, because obviously this is wrong. And as you mentioned, the voters, we the people, taxpayers, we want work to get done. And so if somebody comes forward and says, hey, you forgot to assign me work. we want our tax dollars to go towards our best interest. So please, Beth, if you could you keep in touch with me on this?
Absolutely. I'm here whenever you want to reach out and hear an update. Please do so.
Well, Beth Brinkley, thank you so much for joining us. And we will. We'll keep up with you with this. And, you know, God bless you. And I hope everything works out.
Well, thank you, Kim. I appreciate the time and the interest. You take care.
Thank you. Thank you. When we get back, we'll continue discussing this and also the Prime Minister at the White House yesterday. Real quick, I want you to imagine losing the ability to hear someone say, I love you, or the ability to hear a compliment, hearing the birds chirp, your favorite song, conversation with old friends, or Kim Klasick Live. Look, losing your hearing takes a toll on you physically, emotionally, and socially. Now, this kind of suffering sounds familiar. I do need you to call Audiology Associates, and their number is 410-944-3100. Dr. Melissa Segev and her team take a gentle and empathetic approach for each patient's treatment plan, and they have a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Now, Audiology Associates is the trusted name in Maryland and have been for over 44 years. They even have offices throughout the Baltimore metro area. So please call 410-944-3100, or you can go online at AAIAudiology.com. When silence is not golden, call Audiology Associates at 410-944-3100.
Hi, Rod Barrowy here. God bless America. God bless Donald Trump. God bless all the listeners here at WCBM. Well, looky here. Gas prices are down. Egg prices are down. And oops, the stock market's down too. How would you like to never worry about market volatility in your retirement? You want some growth when the market's up, but no loss when the market's down. Call the Safe Retirement Solutions team at 410-266-1120. That's 410-266-1120.
Retirement, it's almost here. Are you ready? Join Mike DePaula and Sarah Flora of Flora and DePaula Wealth Partners for SWAT, Retirement Strategy Hour. Saturday is at 2 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Investment advisory services made available through AE Wealth Management LLC, a registered investment advisor.
The Rob Carson Show.
Those of you who are complaining that making things fair and the price of your car might go up a little bit if you get it from Japan or you get it from Germany, honestly, shut up. Where were you when dads couldn't afford to buy their kids their first car? Because used cars were 50% more minimum when Joe Biden was the president. Washington, D.C., you have no friggin' clue what we've been through the last 50 years. So how about sit down?
The Rob Carson Show. Weekdays noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right. That is quite a story there from Beth Brinkley. And I just, look, you know that these shenanigans unfortunately happen, right? They do. And if you want to take another look at the timeline of all of this, you can actually go to MarylandMatters.org, and they have on their website some of these changes that have been made in regards to Tisha Edwards. There was a story that came out on February 28th, 2025 by Josh Kurtz. The title is Moore's Appointments Secretary Leaves New Job Running Maryland Bankers Association. That was February 28th. Then a familiar name arrives in Greenbag. That's another headline from Brian Spears that came out February 18th, 2025. And the quote there is a former legislator expelled from the Senate by his colleagues and a former Baltimore City Council president turned out by voters are among more than 200 appointments sent by Governor Wes Moore to the Maryland Senate on that Tuesday. So Maryland Matters has been keeping track of all of these changes, and all it's kind of like musical chairs at this point. And so with Beth Brinkley, as she noted, there's other people from Hogan's administration that are still there. But for some reason, she was not given work as they made the chairman change. And then after her husband, David Brinkley, wrote the op-ed in the Baltimore Sun, she was ousted and her name was not in the green bag. So, yeah, look, I mean, you could see what's happening here, right? Of course, nobody's going to admit it. Now, her last piece there saying that they didn't want some stuff in writing. Well, that's suspicious too, isn't it? Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Because when you're thinking about government and you're thinking about how all this works, right? This is why we weren't so happy with the fact that, you know, some war plans were, you know, on the Signal app going out and, you know, a journalist was copied on it. But you had a former Congressman Mike Waltz on it. You had... you know, I think Tulsi Gabbard was in this chat. There was so much going on, and everybody was like, wait a minute. You put this on a Signal app? This wasn't on a secure government server? What were you thinking? Because that's what I thought. How sloppy can you be? And so here you've got Beth Brinkley saying that there are people that told her to not even put things in writing, right? Not on a secure government server, like nowhere. These are things that are noted, and many of you listening to the show probably do work for the government. A lot of these things are documented thoroughly. So why she would get that response, again, very suspicious. So we'll keep up with Beth on this, but it does sound like retaliation, and I'm sure once she files this whistleblower report, I'm sure she's not going to be able to get that job back, but she's right. If there are people sitting there and they're not doing their job, they're being funded by we, the taxpayers, you've got Governor Wes Moore going on Sunday morning talk show saying, yeah, we can do DOGE in Maryland, sure. Well, sounds like some waste, fraud, abuse right here, Governor. Would you like to pay attention to it? I hope that you do. So when we catch back up with Beth, we'll hopefully get more to the story, and hopefully something will have happened by then. Coming up next, the Prime Minister of Israel, he was at the White House yesterday. I got the sound for you coming up next.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Japan among countries planning to engage in trade talks with the U.S. after President Trump hiked tariffs, moving them closer to those charged by our trading partners. One of America's major trading partners is China, and Beijing remains defiant, prompting the president to threaten additional 50% tariffs on Chinese imports. The Supreme Court has ruled the Trump administration does have the right to deport illegal aliens under the Alien Enemies Act. 5-4 ruling, affirming the executive branch's power to enforce immigration policy. Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu paid a visit to the White House the other day, vowing to quickly eliminate a trade deficit with the United States. And taking a look at Wall Street now, the Dow is up just over 1,400 points. It's a gain of well over 3%. The Nasdaq, 663 points higher. More details, srnnews.com.
It's tax season. By now, we're all a bit tired of numbers, but here's one you need to hear. $16.5 billion. That's how much money in refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud last year. Now, here's a good number, 100 million. That's how many data points LifeLock monitors every second. If your identity's stolen, they'll fix it guaranteed. Save up to 40% in your first year with promo code CLAY. Visit LifeLock.com. That's LifeLock.com, promo code CLAY. Terms apply.
Progressive presents Employee of the Month. Small Business Edition. Today's recipient from Michaela's Mobile Spa, Michaela. Michaela got a quick business insurance quote from Progressive and chose from over 30 customizable coverages. Sure, it helps she's her only employee and does literally everything. But while others would rest on their laurels, Michaela was hard at work saving big. So take that, hypothetical other employee who doesn't exist. Be your own Michaela. See if you could save in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage is not available in all states or for all vehicles and coverage selections.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
Oriole fans waking up to the news this morning that pitcher Zach Eflin asked out of the game last night after six innings of one-run ball. It was a 5-1 win over the D-backs, but manager Brandon Hyde termed it shoulder fatigue for Eflin and was asked after the game.
Are there signs of that, or did he just tell you as he was walking off?
Saw the velo go down a little bit there in the sixth, and then after the sixth he said something. So, unfortunate, because he was throwing the ball so well.
Hyde's body language uncomfortable as he was discussing with Grayson Rodriguez on the IL as well as Albert Suarez now on the 60-day. The Birds can ill afford another blow to the rotation. Elsewhere in baseball, the Dodgers were in D.C. last night, and Shohei Ohtani delivered.
2-0 to Ohtani. Is hit hard to deep right field. Calls going back at the wall. It's tied. Two outs, two runs. Ohtani with a shot to lock it at two.
Call on the MLB Network. Shohei's two-run blast, though, not enough, as the Nats beat the Dodgers 6-4 was the final. Coming up in 30 minutes, Maryland football has a new quarterback. And that is Stein on Sports.
Are you looking for weekly updates about the economy, the stock market, or hearing about wealth planning topics? If so, tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 9:20 a.m. for the Morning Market Flash featuring Tim Herb, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor at RBC Wealth Management. For immediate questions, call us at 855-360-VIEW. That's 855-360-VIEW. RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC, registered investment advisor and member NYSE FINRA SIPC.
This is cool Canadian air that has made its way into the Mid-Atlantic, and it hangs around not just today, but all week long. The temperature's running a little bit below the norm for this time of year. Sunny and breezy and only 50 this afternoon. Low to mid-30s tonight. Tomorrow warms up a little bit, 55. Thursday, that's our next chance of rain. Showers scattered, 58, the high Thursday. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Tick-tock on the tax clock. For expert tax prep, hurry into Jackson Hewitt before the April 15th tax deadline. Don't worry, they're open early, late, and on weekends. To beat the crowds and the clock, book today at jacksonhewitt.com.
Need to hire high-quality candidates fast? Our video interview tool makes it easy and effortless to meet with candidates. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
From Columbia to Germantown, from Fort Meade to ABG, this is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're going to get into what the Prime Minister of Israel said at the White House just yesterday. Real quick, you know, I hate talking about things tragic that happen to children. You know, I absolutely dread some of these stories. But I just wanted to mention, because there were two very adorable young girls, 9 years old to be exact, best friends, that were killed in Baltimore County over the weekend. And a very tragic crash just off the Baltimore Beltway. The car was in a burned embankment, a crushed guardrail, and, of course, the community is now mourning the two 9-year-old girls, and the 36-year-old man that was driving the car also lost his life. The incident occurred shortly after a state trooper had stopped the vehicle, Jeep Wrangler, at the Greenspring Avenue exit. The Jeep, driven by one of the girls' uncles, sped away as the trooper approached. Now, that trooper, believe it or not, he said he did approach. It was going to be a regular traffic stop. But when the Jeep began to flee, the trooper says that he decided not to give chase. Unfortunately, as that trooper was leaving from where he was attempting to stop, do that traffic stop violation, as he continued forward, he saw that the Jeep had crashed into an embankment on the I-83 South exit, and it burst into flames, killing all three occupants. Again, 2 9-year-old girls, absolutely adorable, in this car. Now, why the 36-year-old man, the uncle, why he fled, that was not made clear. But talk about senseless, reckless, and devastating. I saw yesterday, you know, and I don't follow any of the families online, but of course I saw posts yesterday from family members on both Facebook and Instagram posting pictures of these adorable 9-year-old girls. So tragic, so tragic. Of course, you can find this news story. It's everywhere from Fox 45, Channel 11 to Baltimore Sun. Just heartbreaking. As you guys know, I have an 8-year-old little girl myself. I couldn't imagine speeding with her in the back seat. Couldn't imagine that. You know, I guess I'll say, you know, you see sometimes people flee from police if they have like a warrant for their arrest, or say they already have lots of traffic violations. They don't want another. Nothing is worth the lives of those children. And Not that anybody listening to this would do such a thing, but I just, it breaks my heart that this person decided to do such a senseless act. And again, we don't know exactly why, but if you see the two girls online anywhere, you'll see just how adorable these girls are, and best friends, of course. And they were both, it looks like they were both Harley Quinn for Halloween, this past Halloween. They had the cute little outfits. They had like the pigtails and everything. And it is so sad. So prayers to their families. I can't imagine what they're going through. So I did want to mention that because it is just extremely heartbreaking. And I'm sure many of you have heard that story. Also at the White House, before we get into the Prime Minister of Israel, you know, the Dodgers, they visited the White House yesterday. I guess, Brian, are they the ones that won the World Series? Was that those? You know me in sports, you know, I'm there, but not really. I am excited about it being the Masters week. You know, I did see that Scottie Scheffler, I guess he's the fan favorite. They think he's going to win it. Now, he's got a great putting game, but I tell you what, Bryson DeChambeau, and I will scream Bryson all day long. I absolutely love Bryson DeChambeau. I don't know if you guys follow him on YouTube or Instagram, but everybody loves Bryson. He's got like the fun personality, but he also, when he tees up, man, he can hit. It's wild. He's got perfect form. I try to imitate it when I go to the driving range. It doesn't look anything like Bryson's. The ball does not go straight like Bryson's, but you know what? I continue to try. So I'm excited about the Masters. And I did hear, because Gary Stein with the sports here at WCBM, they said it was thundering bad and raining bad yesterday. So they weren't able to practice. But obviously, if you saw LIV Golf over the weekend, Bryson DeChambeau, who's at the Masters, he was at LIV in Miami at the Trump Durrell for LIV Golf. He was there all weekend. He came in second place. He did fairly well. So anyways, I say all that to say my money's on Bryson. All right. I know a lot of people are putting money on Scottie Scheffler, but my money is on Bryson DeChambeau. So we'll continue to watch that. But the Dodgers, as I said, they were visiting the White House yesterday. And of course, President Trump, he can't help himself. He's a good guy. He's a funny guy. He's got charisma, more charisma than Governor Westmore could ever have. When he's cracking jokes at the White House. And of course, I had to bring one of those jokes to you. Take a listen.
Congratulations, Brian. And others, we have a couple of senators here. I just don't particularly like them, so I won't introduce. Over the course of this amazing season, the members of this team. I didn't think it was that big a deal, actually. Washington.
And that is President Trump cracking jokes. And you know what's so funny? I kept watching. He still never said any of the senators' names. He must really not like them because he did not mention them at all. So it was pretty funny. Also at the White House, as I mentioned earlier, you had the Prime Minister of Israel. He was there to meet with President Trump yesterday. And I bring this to you. Obviously, there's a lot going on when it comes to tariffs, right? We're definitely going through a tariff war, and that's fine with me. I know not everybody loves it. Oh, real quick, because I know we were talking to our friend Tim Herb at RBC Wealth Management yesterday. This morning, apparently, the Dow gains was up 1,300 points. Now, what that actually means, I don't know. But what... We're going to ask Tim about it. I wrote a note. We're going to ask Tim about it tomorrow. So it sounds like it was a little better today, in case you were wondering what's going on with the stock market. But President Trump, he's, you know, now in a trade war with almost every country you can imagine, and even that you can't imagine, because there's countries on the list that I've never heard of. Okay. All right. But, you know, there were a lot of people online, and specifically some of these Republicans I've told you about in the past that for some reason are on this anti-Semitic kick. I don't know what, like I said, I don't know why. I can't figure it out. But there are some people, you know, they call themselves conservative influencers, what have you. Some people say time and time again that Israel is controlling the White House. You know, you've got the Prime Minister controlling Trump. This is what they've been saying time and time again. So of course, when you're looking at the tariffs, right, and you're looking at what President Trump is doing, even in regards to Israel, it's like, how can you still make those statements? Again, I don't know why there's been such hatred for the Jewish community, especially after what we saw on October 7th, but it's out there. And I'm ashamed that it's in the Republican Party. I'm ashamed by it. I have people that I don't even talk to anymore because some of the things that they've written online. Like, I don't say anything to them. Like, I won't say, wow, how could you say that? I don't say anything. I look, and then I hit the unfollow button. Because, I don't get it, you know? Especially some people that are always talking about racism and stereotypes and how we shouldn't group all these people together. And, you know, but here you are saying hateful things about the entire Jewish community. I don't understand it. I don't get it. Well, anyways, the Prime Minister was at the White House yesterday. I want you to take a listen to some of the conversation.
I can tell you that I said to the President a very simple thing. We will eliminate the trade deficit with the United States. We intend to do it very quickly. We think it's the right thing to do. And we're going to also eliminate trade barriers, a variety of trade barriers that have been put up unnecessarily. And I think Israel can serve as a model for many countries who ought to do the same. I recognize the position of the United States. It says, you know, we're allowing other countries to put tariffs on us, but we don't put tariffs on them. And, you know, I'm a free trade champion, and free trade has to be fair trade. And I think that's basically the position that you have put forward, Mr. President. We are going to eliminate the tariffs, and rapidly.
Okay, so there you have it, right? That's the Prime Minister of Israel, and there you have it. So what he's saying is what? He's going to eliminate the trade deficit, and he's going to make it right, and he wants to be able to work with America, and not like some people are claiming on X, and even, you know what, I've seen some of the stuff on Facebook, too, saying that the Prime Minister is completely controlling Trump, and Trump has no say on it. No, that's not what's happening at all. All right, just so we're very clear, President Trump is very much in control when it comes to the Prime Minister of Israel, when it comes to, obviously, Putin there in Russia, when it comes to Zelensky, we saw him slap him around right out of Ukraine. You know, Justin Trudeau is no longer the Prime Minister of Canada. Now you've got, what is his name, Mark Carney, I believe. And even though Mark Carney, you know, he talks a good game, he's been flexing a lot lately, but still, Trump does not care. He doesn't care. Right? Mexico's falling in line. I don't know what they're going to do with Greenland. I guess they're still trying to hash that out. I don't even know what's going on over there. But, you know, of course, we have a lot of enemies. Of course, we have people that we're going to pay attention to, you know, a lot more than we do Israel. And maybe that's the case. Maybe some of these people hate the Jewish community so much that they don't see Israel as an ally. That could be the case. But it's not the case. And it's so bizarre, too, because then you're thinking about, like, his son-in-law, married to Ivanka Trump, Jared Kushner, he himself is Jewish, right? Of course, he was the one that helped broker some of that peace in the Middle East during President Trump's first term. So I guess I'm perplexed on all of this. But if there's any of those people that listen to the show that also feel like some of these others that believe that Israel is in complete control, I hope you were listening to what was being said at the White House yesterday with the Prime Minister, because that's not what's happening. And it doesn't look like President Trump is bending the knee to anyone. And he is completely in control. And I also want to apologize to the Jewish community and for what you're going through with all of this. You know what? You hear about anti-Semitism. I've heard about this, you know, a lot my entire life. And I guess living in the state of Maryland, you really just don't see it, right? But now being on social media and now seeing people deny the Holocaust and all these other things, now you see it and you're just like, wow, this is no joke. It really is no joke. And, you know, I don't know where the hatred comes from. And I know that those people that, you know, there's people that probably won't agree with me on this. But from what I could see, when people try to explain why they don't like Jewish people, I try to listen. I'm like, all right, where is this coming from? And there are people that will say that they control the media, they control music, they control Hollywood. They believe that they have a lot of influence. They'll say, oh, they're very rich and they're very this, and they keep things within their community and da da da. To me, when you break it all down, a lot of it sounds like jealousy and envy. That's what a lot of this sounds like. So wait a minute. So you're mad at some Jewish people because they're successful? Like, what? Do you hear yourself? And this is some of the beef that I even have with Candace Owens these days. And I posted about her when she was trying to throw a thorn into Trump's endorsement of Randy Fine, the congressman now in Florida, who took the place of former Congressman Mike Waltz. If you recall, I mentioned on the show, she told all her followers not to vote for Randy Fine, the Trump-endorsed candidate and the Republican, obviously, in the race, as Democrats spent $10 million in that race trying to flip that seat, mind you, as a special election. She told them not to support the Republican. And so, of course, I posted about it. I said, are you out of your mind? Are you nuts? And then when she goes to explain to people, it comes out that it's because he's Jewish. That's what it came to be. So, yeah, you probably saw my post online about it because I'm over it. I'm over it. If she wants to go toe-to-toe, if anybody wants to fight with me on it, we can have this fight. We can have this fight. We talk often about how great America is. Right? How many times do we hear how inclusive we are? It's a melting pot. It's this, it's that. And, you know, when we hear about people, you know, of course, everybody wants to do away with racism. I would think the same thing with anti-Semitism. Why do we want to live in such a divided country? We don't, what does that serve us? Right? And so it's just, it's bizarre, like I said, to those that have seen it online the way that I have, to our Jewish friends, please know that you do have friends that will, you know, be right by your side in all of this. And no, I don't think Israel is controlling America, as some people are claiming. And I think that's preposterous. I really do. I got a caller here that wants to weigh in. Bill in Columbia. Bill, you wanted to weigh in?
Thank you very much for taking my call. I am not convinced that the people in America who are supporting the Palestinians, supporting Hamas, I'm not so sure that anti-Semitism is the total reason. I think those people, most of them on the left, they see Israel as an apartheid state. They see Israel as you know, a white supremacist nation that is suppressing, you know, the Palestinians that are non-white. What do you think?
Yeah, no, Bill, I know we had this conversation. I think I agree with you, especially those on college campuses, because that's what they see. Right. And that's what they've been, honestly, brainwashed to see is just skin color. So I think you're right on that one.
Well, I'm not saying anti-Semitism doesn't exist, but
right.
I don't think that's
yeah.
speaking here.
Yeah. No, Bill.
Thank you.
No, thank you so much. I appreciate you calling in. And I'm right there with Bill. You know, there's anti-Semitism, of course. And there are people that, for some reason, hate the Jewish community. But a lot of these kids on college campuses, I'm right there with Bill. I think it's they look at it as Jewish people in their mind, they're white, and they're the white privileged people, and that they, you know, don't like Palestinians because they're on their land and they're of color. That's what I think most of those in these college protests, I think that's what they believe. I really do. I don't think they have any clue about Hamas. And you had many people, like podcasters, they went to some of these college campuses. I don't know if you guys saw this, but they asked some of these kids, they were like, you know, this chant that you're saying, from the river to the sea, which river and which sea? Did you see some of these podcast interviews? They look at them with deer, like, you know, a deer with in headlights. And they're like, wait a minute. Well, I don't know exactly which river. I don't know exactly which sea, but, you know, from the river to the sea, you know. Yeah, I'm like, wait a minute. You're protesting. You have no idea what you're talking about. And you're just plain stupid. I mean, like, you know what I mean? And so when the podcasters try to explain to them, you know, the history here and what's going on, they still stand there like, you know, like, oh, how could you say that? You know, these people are awful people. They're killing all these. Yeah, it's a genocide. It's just, and then I always say, well, if you feel that strongly about it, why don't you go to Gaza? Why are you here? Why are you protesting at Columbia University? Go to Gaza. There are flights. Go on over. I mean, why are you here? Why are you stopping traffic in New York? Go to Gaza today. Do you want us to go? We can put a GoFundMe together to help pay for your flights. You can go. I got Robert in Dundalk. Robert, you wanted to weigh in on this?
Yes. Hi, Kim. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I've been watching this stuff for a long time. You know, half the Israelis are divided themselves. You've seen, like, in Israel, they almost had half and half. They were about ready to have a civil war over there about what was going on with the hostages and all that stuff. You know, so a lot of times, one of my doctors is Israeli. He's crazy. He's cool, but you know, he's just so against everything that, like, Benjamin Netanyahu. He hates him, and he, you know, it's like, well, I'm telling him why he's like. doing good for your country. You know, so to me, though, I wouldn't say about them being successful. It's like, just from the very beginning in the Bible, how they set up things, you got to set up a society with, like, say, okay, we're going to use this for money, and this is going to pay for, you know, a structured system to set up money and trade, and that's just how you have to set up a world, I mean, you know, a country, and it winds up being successful just because, you know, and to me, if you believe in the Bible, if you with the Jews, God will bless you, and the Jews, you know, yeah, bless you. So anyway, they set it up for a society to work. You got to trade, you got to, you know, and then to me, and they're such a small percentage of the world. So it's just like, but it's what they do, and they wind up being successful because how they set up things, you know, like we did, Judeo-Christian values in our country in the beginning, right, and they want to break it all apart. It's like, and that's why it works. And then, like you said, it's envy and jealousy, and it's just terrible. It's just absolutely terrible. It's just like people just don't get it. And then to me, when I argue with people, it's like something's in their eyes, and it's like that they don't see it, and they get, it's propaganda in our country too, and you know, with schools and everything else, and
right, but, right, a lot
terrible.
Of that's, yeah,
just sad.
Yeah, no, a lot of it's indoctrination. No, you're right about that, Robert. I'm coming up on a break here. I appreciate you calling in. You know, I got a couple callers I want to weigh in, and then we'll wrap this up, because at 11 o'clock, don't forget, we have our guest joining us from Detroit, Michigan, Pastor Lorenzo Sewell. He's the one that gave the prayer on Inauguration Day.
WCBM listeners, hi, it's Jim with Wallace Roofing. Wallace Roofing's been protecting Maryland homes for over 90 years. That's three generations of getting the job done right. No shortcuts, no sales gimmicks, just honest work and quality workmanship. At Wallace Roofing, we answer our phones. A real human will answer the phone and answer your questions. 410-655-3700, 410-655-3700. Above all, a good roof.
Vacation starts with VA. One thing you'll love about your trip to Virginia is that you'll never have to settle for one thing. All that you love is all in one trip. Start yours at virginia.org.
Tick-tock on the tax clock. For expert tax prep, hurry into Jackson Hewitt before the April 15th deadline. Don't worry, they're open early, late, and on weekends. To beat the crowds and the clock, book today at jacksonhewitt.com.
The Morning Drive with Casey and Elliot.
Guess who just bought an $88 million ski resort?
Who?
Zelensky's company just bought a hotel in the Courchevel ski resort for 88 million euros. I have to ask the question.
We send money over to him. That means he doesn't have to spend his own money on the things that we're paying for now, so he can use his own money to buy a ski resort.
I just keep doing this kind of thing because this is why the left lost. They don't know how to read the room.
The Morning Drive, 6 to 9 with Casey and Elliot on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This portion of the Kim Klasick Show is brought to you by the law offices of Michael A. Friedman, representing injury victims for over 30 years, on the web at maflaw.com.
All right, all right. We're going to have our guest join us at the top of the hour. Somehow we veered off into talking about anti-Semitism. I don't know exactly what happened. We were talking about the Prime Minister and his visit to the White House yesterday. It looks like it was a very good visit. Got a couple people to weigh in here. I've got Leonard in Silver Spring. Leonard, haven't talked to you in a while. What's going on?
I know. I missed you, Kim. I missed you. This is a great topic. So I don't necessarily, there might be a slight increase in anti-Semitism, but I do believe that most of the anti-Israeli sentiment is justified and appropriate. I mean, 50,000 Palestinians killed. Over half of them are women and children, and certainly they've made it clear they want to ethnically cleanse the Gaza Strip and also the West Bank, and we should be protesting here in the United States because our government is complicit in that sentiment. I mean, I saw Trump over there the other day, and I guess his previous engagement with Netanyahu endorsing ethnic cleansing. Who in the heck would ever thought that the United States would actually do something like that? Ethnic cleansing, Kim. Can you imagine that?
Leonard,
that's insane.
Leonard, that wasn't what Trump was doing. But I don't want to get into that part.
It was.
Of it.
It's clearly what it was.
What I will ask you is, you're saying that you believe that a lot of the anti-Semitism is because of the killings in Gaza. But if you recall, it's really Israel just defending itself from what happened October 7th, no?
Okay, so certainly anybody with the right mind believes that Israel has the right to defend themselves. But however, after a few months, it wasn't defending themselves. It was to ethnically cleanse the Gaza and the West Bank. That's what it's about, because they won the war a couple months after October 7th.
So, real quick, Leonard, because I do have a break coming up, and you have your opinion. I don't think we have to have a blowout fight about it, but. When it comes to Hamas, right, and those hostages, because you're saying it could have ended after a couple months, but they still had the hostages. How would you have ended it?
So this is what I think, because if they were trying to, they can't end this militarily, because if they did, this would have been over a year ago. So even today, Hamas still has the ability to fire weapons at Israel. So it tells you. Militarily is not the way to do the to get the hostages back. They had an agreement. Israel negated the agreement, and as a result of that negation of the agreement, the Houthis started firing back in the Red Sea, attacking the shipping lanes.
The Houthis have been attacking
because of Israel.
Okay, the Houthis have done that for a long time, though, Leonard. All right, you know what? So we do have our guest coming up.
The fighting stopped while the peace process was ongoing, when they had the ceasefire agreement.
Well, Leonard,
once Israel broke it, it began again.
Leonard, I appreciate you calling in. I do. I wish I could talk about this further. We've got our guest coming up next. But one day we will get back to this conversation.
Have you heard of plantar fasciitis? Hi, it's Jonathan Cotton with the Good Feet Store. Imagine jumping off the back of a pickup truck onto some rock.